Good evening. It is 99.3 FM here in Washington, D.C. The most important person in the room, of course, is Bill Witherspoon. No point mentioning me or Mark until Bill Witherspoon is our engineer for tonight, and he's going to be keeping us on the air. And when you're setting you straight, my name's Garland Nixon, and I'm here with
Mark Levine.
And the name of the show is News Views on Every. And we're gonna chat a bit about the disaster. We're going to open the phones. Mark, I got things that are probably going to really upset you.
All right.
For starters, Latinos, let me get the age. Uninsured Latinos ages 19 to 34 dropped from 43% down to 23%.
Basically in half of what it used to be.
Yep. Uninsured sent to 15%.
It's also cheaper. They said it was going to go through the roof. For healthcare is the lowest in the last few years it's been since they've started measuring it.
90% of the people who signed up have been paying their, the Republicans said people are going to sign up, but they won't pay. 90% of the people have been paying, which makes sense because people move money around the budget for other things when it comes to paying their health insurance.
Oh, and one more thing. They said it would break revenue. So they were wrong about that, too.
Yeah. The other thing is, they said that after 1 year, it would be such an economic total financial disaster for the companies that were involved that, they would all drop out and it would just disappear. Well, for every one company that's leaving, five are joining, which tells us something. Companies don't go in business because they're nice guys. If they're doing it, it's because it's obvious that they're making money. In fact, in some states, the number of companies involved is increasing by 25%. And in a competitive economy, we know what that means. Lower prices.
You know, I've long argued that national health care is the way to go. Still think it's better.
Absolutely.
Than Obamacare. But people say, well, how is it that you can pay less and get more? That doesn't seem reasonable. Actually, it makes perfect sense because poor people, working class people, even middle class people a lot of times would use the emergency room for ordinary health needs because it was the only way they could get any health care. And it turns out, and this really shouldn't surprise anybody, I think it was Ben Franklin that said an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. If you take heart medicine every month, which might cost $100 a month, you don't have to incur quadruple heart bypass surgery, which is going to cost you $100,000, you're not only saving yourself money, you're saving the state money, and guess what? You don't have to undergo someone cutting into your chest cavity. So it's better for everybody around, except for Republican politicians who I think are going to change. They're going to change their focus because they said we're going to focus on Obamacare. I don't hear them talking about it too often today.
Well, you know, they've been telling us also for quite a while, Mark, that they needed to repeal and replace. Remember that one? We got to get rid of Obamacare and we got to replace it with a Republican version. And when everyone said, okay, great, that sounds like an idea. I'm sure you guys will have a fantastic version. Can we have a look at it? Well, we haven't quite gotten there yet. We're going to replace it with something. Why don't we just repeal it and then while we're in the process of voting. Yeah,
right.
we'll deal with that. They're going to replace it with something. It's kind of like a trade in pro sports with a player to be named later.
But here's something I don't understand. I don't understand why enough Democrats aren't running on it. I mean, we have a Senate races that are very close. It's neck and neck as to who's going to control the Senate. It really is. I mean, the Republicans may well get 6 seats and control the Senate. They might only get 5 seats, in which case Joe Biden will break the tie. The Democrats will control the Senate. And you look at someone like Allison Grimes running in Kentucky.
Yes.
And that's a red state, to be sure, but it's also a state where Obamacare has had amazing success. I mean, Kentucky is really not the richest state in the Union. It's a fairly poor state, particularly in the Appalachian area in East Kentucky. And poor working class people are doing great under Obamacare because they have a Democratic governor that implemented it. I would think she would run on it, but I think she's looking at polls, and polls are showing that Americans still don't like Obamacare because they really don't know how successful it is. And so she's not telling the story. And she may well lose Kentucky.
Yeah, well, you know, here's the interesting thing about Kentucky. I read an article, it was a few weeks ago, talking about that very issue. And what they said was some surveys showed that there were a number of Republicans, of poor people, who were now on Medicaid, who loved it, and they call it Kentucky Connect. And some of them don't even, you know, say, well, this is better than Obamacare, and not knowing that it is actually the ACA Obamacare. But that were interviewed that said, oh, we're going to vote for Republicans because, you know, we believe in the way they want to do things, blah, blah, blah. They're going to vote for the people who are saying, I'm going to take your I'm going to take your medical coverage. It's best for the country if you don't have medical coverage. So and as I'm sure you know, Mark, there's a long history of people in the South voting against their own economic interest because of other issues, may they race, be they ideology, be they, you know, gay marriage, whatever the case, voting for people who would leave them high and dry. So that's definitely, you know, you've got to give her the benefit of the doubt for trying to walk that very thin line between reality and between people who seem to have some really conflicting political ideological issues.
But part of it is just simply uninformed people. I mean, you're right. It's called Kynect, K-Y-N-E-C-T.
Kynect. Right.
Like Kentucky, the abbreviation for Kentucky Connect. And polls show that Kentuckians overwhelmingly love Connect.
Right.
Like 70% love Connect, but, you know, something like only 40% like Obamacare. Obamacare is Connect.
Right.
It's like people that love the Affordable Health Care Act and didn't like Obamacare, not knowing that the Affordable Health Care Act
It's the Obama part that they didn't like.
Right. So, they don't know what it is. And so, you know what? Allison Grimes needs to, if she doesn't want to use the word Obama in it, say, I support the Affordable Health Care Act, I support Connect, and say that Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, who's a senator from Kentucky, he opposes Connect.
Right.
Mitch McConnell will take away your health care. Now, why aren't those ads running on TV? She's running like only about 5 points behind, or maybe it's 10, right. 5 to 10. Where are those ads that say Mitch McConnell wants to take away your health care? I just don't know why she's not running those ads.
You know, that's a very good point that I hadn't thought of, Mark. You're right.
Obamacare.
Since they don't know the difference,
right.
Unfortunately, some people don't think there's a difference. That's it. She should run out and put him out, put him out there and say, look, here's a man who's saying he's going to get rid of, as sworn to get rid of Kentucky Connect, and I will protect Kentucky Connect. Protect Kentucky Connect. Well, you get the point.
Right. That's exactly right. So, again, I'm not her political consultant, and, you know, maybe I shouldn't be. I ran and then lost myself. But I don't understand. Now, I know Kentucky's a red state. Mm-hmm. I get it. But you don't have to. If she doesn't want to use Obama's name, don't use it. Just say I like Connect, and Mitch McConnell doesn't. And Mitch McConnell wants, you know, a million Kentuckians to go without insurance and bring on some people from. I did a radio show just a year ago with a guy from Kentucky. I remember his first name was Gary, who was really struggling to get by. The manufacturing in his town had left 10 years ago, and his town had very, it's a little town in the Appalachian area, had very high unemployment, and I remember what he did is he lifted tobacco leaves and helped them air out. And some mm-hmm. of those things are like 100 pounds, and it's mm-hmm. a dirty job, and I think he got something like $11,000 a year. that was, you know, I mean, really below poverty wages. And I was great. It was a before and after because he called in, told me how much he hated Obama, how much he hated Obamacare. And I got his number and I pressed him to get it. And I called some local Kentuckians to help him sign up. He signed up and within a month, this guy had a 180-degree turn, loved Obamacare, apologized profusely. He's just the first health care he's had in his life mm-hmm. where and it didn't cost him a penny. Whereas before he got a hernia lifting that tobacco, and he had to pay $250, which he couldn't afford, and he had to borrow from a friend and barely to deal with that hernia. This guy, I mean, I just don't understand. Democrats help working class people, and let's face it, we're talking about working class white people because working class black people already are Democrats. But working class white people are helped strongly by Democratic positions. They just don't know it. And I'm just not sure why we have such a hard time conveying how much we're helping working class white people who live in these rural areas.
Yeah. Another thing, Obamacare has cut the numbers, listen to this, of the uninsured in New Jersey by half. By half in New Jersey. But, however, listen to this. All six Republican Congress members from New Jersey, they supported budgets. Not only did they vote against Obamacare, they supported budgets that would have cut Medicaid, that would have made it even worse.
And let's bring it on home to our listening audience. In my home state of Virginia, the Republicans in the legislature refuse the 100% coverage the federal government will give to millions of working-class Virginians. So we have people who are going to die in Virginia. Hundreds, probably thousands of people are going to die, not because it will cost Virginia a penny to cure them, but because Republicans don't want 100% coverage by the federal government. Their argument is that after 3 years, it goes down to 90%. So the Democrats in Virginia said, you know what? We'll make you a deal. If the government ever stops paying for it, we can get rid of it. You know, we'll put that in the legislation. And they said, No. We know that if people start getting it, they're going to like it. They're going to want it. It'll be politically unfeasible to take away people's medical care, so we're not going to give it to them in the first place. And they refuse this free money that's going to states like New Jersey and Kentucky, and frankly, to those of you in Maryland and D.C.
Yeah, you know, there's a twisted ideology behind there. Here's a couple things for people who don't know. A couple of the things. Obamacare has allowed families to keep their children on the family policy until age 26. A lot of kids in college, et cetera. It benefited my daughter for a while. It banned insurers from setting lifetime limits on coverage, from denying coverage to those with pre-existing conditions such as cancer, diabetes. It forced insurers to spend at least 80% of the premium money on medical care, or 85% in the large group market. That's resulted in $330 million in rebates to 7 million policyholders.
My uncle got one.
Yeah.
My uncle got a rebate.
Oh, I've got friends.
About it. He was excited about it. He got a rebate because his insurance company had been charging him too much.
Yeah. So so people who are paying, you might as well say that's lowered rates. Because people who have been paying whatever they give you, you just take that off your rates. It actually just lowered your rates because you didn't really utilize as much of the services. And the thing about it is this, and the insurance companies are still making a killing. They're making so much profit that there's tons of other companies that are saying, hey, we're going to get into that.
Hey, I just looked up because I was curious about the argument to Mitch McConnell, because he says he wants to repeal Obamacare, of how it would affect the Kentuckians. I just looked this up. I was curious on the internet. And what it says is that McConnell has said, get this, Obamacare repeal and the Kentucky State Exchange are, quote, unconnected, unquote.
Absolutely.
He was asked at a press conference in Louisville by a news editor at a Kentucky newspaper what it would mean for the 413,000 Kentuckians who signed up for coverage under the state exchange. McConnell dodged the question and was asked it a second time. He dodged it a second time. First he said Obamacare was a job killer. Then he talked about Allison Lundergan Grimes. The reporter said the third time, you haven't answered the question. I've asked you twice. Basically, you're refusing to answer the question. And then he said, and this is a direct quote and a direct lie, that Kentucky Neck is unconnected to Obamacare when Kentucky Neck is Obamacare.
Yeah, of course.
A bald-faced lie.
Well, he's a conservative. They're fairly apathetic about the truth. If it works, you say it. We're going to have to take a quick break. Let me give out the number, 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Do you support Obamacare? Are you against it? Are you on the right you hate it? Are you on the left that you hate it? Or do you love it? What are your thoughts on Obamacare and what it means to our country and or anything related? Garland Nixon and Mark Levine, 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Call in. We'll be right back.
The WPFW Community Advisory Board is currently conducting a listener survey on programming. The purpose of the survey is to gain feedback from WPFW listeners on the station's current programming and potential programming you would be interested in hearing in the future. If you want your voice to be heard, please participate in this survey. To do so, email your full name and phone number to cab.wpfw@mail.com. Please put survey in the subject line. Optionally, you can call 202-588-0999, extension 349, and leave your full name, phone number, and email address on the answering machine. A CAB volunteer will contact you for the survey. Thank you for supporting WPFW 89.3 FM, your jazz and justice station.
Good evening, Garland Nixon here with Mark Levine. We're back. Looks like we got somebody on the the phone seemed to be buzzing along. 202-588-0893. We're talking about Obamacare. Mark, you know, I find it interesting. We're going to go to the phones in a second, but let's just take one quick minute here. I've always found it interesting that there are people on the left who oppose health care coverage, a program that will bring health care coverage for poor, uninsured, middle class, various different Americans who need it. What are your thoughts on that, Mark? Kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Well, you know, I mean, there's some on the left, and actually I include myself in this. I remember Terry DeKester when we used to argue on the Raucous Caucus. He was against the Affordable Care Act. We all three of us believe that universal health care and national health care is the better system. Terry opposed it because he felt it didn't go far enough and it wasn't as good as national health care, and therefore he opposed it. You and I supported it, agreeing with Terry it wasn't as good as universal health care, but deciding that we'd rather have half measures than no measures. And I think those on the left that condemn Obamacare correctly point out it's not as good as universal care. But, you know, if you can get half a loaf rather than none, I say you take half a loaf. I still think that this can be a stepping stone. Vermont, for example, may just put in universal health care and show everyone that it works, and then we'll just get blue state after blue state, and finally we'll probably, you know, 10 years from now drag the South across. But I've always believed that you take half a loaf when you can get it, and I think those on the left that oppose it are letting the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Ah, Voltaire. Yes, yeah, same way. I always feel the same way. If you can get a little bit, and I've always made this kind of analogy, and that is, if I'm coming out of the desert, I haven't had anything to drink for a week, and a guy says, here's a glass of water, and I slap it out of his hand and say, are you kidding me? That's tap water. I want Dasani, you know, give me Deer Park, and it's not even cold. It's room temperature. Come on. You expect me to? No, that's not the way it works. If I don't have health care coverage, I'm not going to sit around whining about whether or not it came from an insurer. You know, you wouldn't want to give money to the insurance companies. Here, I think I'll just die of this easily treatable disease instead. No.
I mean, I don't want to give money to the insurance companies. I still think they're getting too much money. I still think we can make savings through universal care. I still think it's a better system. Just because I have half a loaf doesn't mean I'm not going to fight and continue to fight for the full loaf. But meanwhile, I'll take half.
Well, it depends on what your goal was. Here was my goal. My goal was to get health insurance for as many people as possible. Deal with the administrivia later. Their goal was based on a concept of single payer. Not the goal was not to get as many people, get it to healthcare coverage to as many people as possible. It's only to get a certain kind of healthcare coverage out there. And if they couldn't get that, then none was too good for them, basically. So let's start with Jackie. Jackie, welcome to WPFW. What are your thoughts on Obamacare? You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for having me on the call. I just want to let you know that I am a supporter of Obamacare. I was on the campaign rallying for the pass of Obamacare. I think it's great because there is nothing out there except for Medicaid. And with Medicaid, as you know, that's on its way out. I just want to say that check the website out, read for yourself what he's trying to do to bring in some type of health care. During this time, a tremendous amount of jobs is out there for healthcare, nursing, IT, as myself, and other jobs out there for healthcare IT. So the jobs are coming in as well as healthcare.
Good point.
So I support that so much, and, you know, we all need to get on board. Another thing I want to say is there's some tweaking to be done, granted, you know, with healthcare, and that's okay. And that takes time, over the years, it tweaks. You can tweak it, you know, what's affordable for a particular client or not. I think that insurance companies and hospitals and all are working together to get that passed. And I think it's a great idea. And I think everyone should just get on board and just get with the program.
Thank you very much, Jackie. Next, we're going to go to Tess.
Just real quick,
go ahead, Mark.
I'm glad Jackie mentioned the website. I still hear, it's amazing, I'll do a show on Obamacare, I'll still hear someone say, well, the website's lousy, and I tell the person you're living in the past, because it was lousy last October. That was almost a year ago now. It's actually pretty good now. So if you tried to go on the website when it first came out and you had trouble, hey, you know, I did too. too. So, but it does work now. Don't let what happened a year ago ever dissuade you today.
Hey, I got to go back to my thirsty guy coming out of the desert analogy, Mark, with that one. I walk out of the desert, and I haven't had anything to drink in 4 days, and some guy says, here's some water, and I slap it out of his hand and say, are you kidding? It's in a plastic cup. I only drink water in fine crystal. You know, the website's bad. The last time I checked, people weren't trying to get a website. They were trying to get health care coverage.
It's good now, but my point is it's good now.
Yeah, but I mean, even when they first started, the website's terrible. Well, you know, it may very well be, but the people aren't signing up for a website. They're signing up for health care coverage.
The other thing is they said that they wouldn't get they wouldn't get a million, they wouldn't get 2 million, they wouldn't get 4 million.
They were right.
Obama promised 7 million, and that he'll never get to 7 million. Turns out he got more than 8 million.
And they're calling him a liar. The man's a liar. He said 7 million, and look, he got 8 million. You can't trust a word he says.
That's right. He was wrong.
That's a conservative.
Wrong.
You know, he saves walks across the water to save a drowning man, and they argue that he can't swim. Tesfa, welcome.
That's right. Good evening, my friend.
Good evening, my brother Tesfa.
Look, healthcare is about somebody's survival, somebody's saving somebody's life, mm-hmm. or stopping the suffering of somebody. It is as serious as death and life.
Mm-hmm.
But the right wing is arguing ideology. Everything has to be privatized. Instead of thinking of how best to save somebody's life or how best to stop somebody's sickness, illness, they are thinking making money about mm-hmm. privatizing. This idea of privatizing health care and education trickled down to Africa, and in the last presidential election in Ghana, it was the most serious issue. Privatizing.
And if you could wrap up, Tesfa, for about 10 seconds. Wrap up.
10 seconds. In Ethiopia, our best singer, an amazing Ethiopian called Tlahun Gestese, died because healthcare was privatized, and he couldn't find help when he had heart attack. You see?
Thank you very much, Tesfa. Certainly appreciate that. You know, I kind of had a feeling at some point we were going to get to problems in Ethiopia. But he made some very, very strong points, and that is, I mean, the most simple being, we're not talking about a luxury. You know, the right wing talks about healthcare as though it's a luxury, as though, you know, it's like, well, you know, some people get a flat screen TV, but I mean, if you can afford enough, you get a 60 inch. And if you can't, you know, you get a little $139 19 inch, or, you know, maybe an old one with knobs on. We're not talking about that.
Well, one thing, by the way, for people who haven't gotten it and are still considering it, I looked up, you know, what the average premium is. Net after getting the subsidies, which of course are part of Obamacare, mm-hmm. the average premium is $82 a month.
You can't beat that. You know, I know people who have said, you know, I can't afford it, blah, 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 went on, and because they didn't...
You can't get cable for that long.
No, and because they didn't make much money, ended up paying like $50 and $60 a month and said, geez, I couldn't believe it. Yeah, well, you know, and others who, as I've said many times on the station, I helped some people sign up. It was a family of five, and the father had a college degree. But he couldn't find a job making very much money. The mother was working. They had three kids, and they only made like $37,000 last year. They were eligible for Medicaid, medical assistance in the state of Maryland. The whole family got medical assistance. They don't have to pay any co-pays. They don't have to pay anything. And that family would not have had medical insurance other than that.
By the way, there's a poll about Republicans got insurance for mm-hmm. the first time under Obamacare. What percentage of Republicans, not Democrats, not independents, what percentage of Republicans are satisfied with their new health coverage?
Can I guess? 70%.
74%. Very good. 74%. Of Republicans, it's much higher among independents, and it's way over 90% among
Democrats. And you know what? I bet you if before Obamacare you went out into the free market, just the regular old health care insurance, which Obamacare, for a lot those that don't understand, is still in the market. I don't call it free, but in the market. But you would have probably gotten that about normally before there was such thing as Obamacare.
Yeah. part of the reason I think that Obamacare still has a bad rap is that we talked about this ahead of time. It doesn't affect the majority of us. The majority
right.
of us get health care through our jobs.
Well, actually, it does.
The government.
Yeah.
And so the whole point was when Obama said, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. For the vast majority of it hasn't changed. Not the vast majority, but more than three quarters of us, it hasn't changed. So a lot of people say, oh, I heard it was going to be bad, and it didn't change mine at all. And it didn't.
Here's the thing about it. So what a lot of them don't realize is it did. It did, because now if you go to get some, you know, whether it's a woman getting an exam for breast cancer, whether it's a, you know, person getting a colonoscopy, now there are a number of things that help everybody. You don't have to pay any copay now for preventative things. There are so many things out there that people say, well, it didn't make a difference. Well, it made a difference to everybody. The problem is the ignorance of it. They don't know what it does.
Are less crowded than they used to be. And the other thing is to remember, and this is real important, particularly for my fellow Virginians out there, it only really worked in the half the states, the 25 states, that put it into effect. If you see that nothing's changed in Virginia, you're right. It's because Virginia did not allow Obamacare to be implemented. But those listeners in Maryland and D.C., I'm sure, have found a much more dramatic reduction in emergency rooms and probably can get care more easily now than they used to.
And it's sad because a state like Maryland is the wealthiest state in the nation, and they get all this, you know, Medicaid expansion, the whole nine yards, and then you go down to Mississippi, you know, to Louisiana and these very, very poor states, and they don't take it. The rich get richer. There's an issue with Maryland having it and somebody else not having it, and everybody should have it. But that's what's really sad about this. Let's go to Barry, and if you want to call in, we're talking about Obamacare. 202-588-0893. We're talking Obamacare. We got open line. Kim!
Hi, how are you?
I am fantastic. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you talk about Obamacare and just, I call it the disconnect with taxes and health care. I think what it is people think that they're going to save all this money if they don't have it. And no one thinks about if you get sick, you're going to need health insurance.
Right.
And, you know, when I first heard about it, because I didn't have health insurance for a while,
mm-hmm.
Which I didn't feel good about, because even though I'm a healthy person, I said, okay, what if, God forbid, you know, something happens.
You slip on the ice and break your elbow, anything.
You get cancer. It can happen to any of us.
But here's the thing that no one talks about, and I call it health profiling. You know, when they ask for your health history,
mm-hmm.
you know, what does your... Well, what had happened with me when I was with a different plan, you know, they had asked me all these questions about my parents' health, and what they were doing was raising my rates.
Yes.
Based on what they thought I was going to get.
Yep.
And at one point, I was paying almost, I had to cancel my insurance because I was paying almost $500 a month.
Wow.
Just to have three, you know, checkups a year, you know, and so I canceled it, and I said, okay, I'll just pay for the doctor's visit. But when they started talking about, you know, this, and I was like, oh, great. And so I went on the Maryland Health Exchange, and I found, you know, a plan that worked for me. And, you know, when people talked about it crashing, I waited a month because I knew it was going to crash,
mm-hmm.
because I knew so many people would go online
right.
and try to sign up. But what I did was I actually called, and the person that on the other line, you know, on the
right,
other
right.
end, they were very patient. They helped me, and now I have a plan that I really like.
That's wonderful, and yeah, that's the story I hear over and over.
Another Obama success story. But ask yourself this, listeners. Other than WPFW, where have you heard about the successes of Obamacare? I don't remember seeing CBS, ABC, NBC, even MSNBC, a liberal channel. How many programs? I know there's a lot on our battle against ISIS. How many times we heard a ton about how Obamacare is going to fail. We heard that all the time. How much on the media do you hear these success stories? I don't hear them very often.
And let's be honest about something. September 11th was terrible when 3,000 people died. 45,000 people a year were dying because there was no health. And, you know, 15 times the 9/11 were dying yearly. So while terrorism is certainly an issue that we should be concerned about, the bottom line is this, you know, you're putting the cart before the horse. You're much more likely to die of this,
of healthcare,
of not having healthcare. Let's go to Barry. Barry, welcome to WPFW.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I'm enjoying the program immensely. And I work with the largest insurance company in the nation. In working on the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, I was simply amazed at the benefits that America could really benefit from the Affordable Care Act. I mean, with the 10 essential benefits that people have been not really taking care of their health needs. These benefits are they're available. They're free with no copays.
Mm-hmm.
Like colonoscopies, like your diabetes checkups. These are things that people weren't taking care of because they didn't have the money to do it.
Mammograms. PSA tests.
Absolutely. These are things that people were not taking care of because they could not afford it. And as I was implementing the mandates for the Affordable Care Act, I was simply amazed because this is what America needs. This is going to create a healthier America. And I think the biggest picture is the lack of information.
Mm-hmm.
And people that are actually scaring people are the people that don't need it anyway. I mean, these
right.
are people that have free health care. So they're making people paranoid, but they have it. And I think Affordable Care Act is the best thing that's come down the pike in a long time. It has some ability to be improved with the website. All that's being done, but in actuality, I think people need to educate themselves. This is the best thing for America. It's really preventive care and take care of the medical needs.
Right.
And I can just say I'll be very brief.
Right.
But it's a really wonderful thing. People need to educate themselves and not be caught up into the phobia from the people that are legislating. That's making them afraid to make a decision.
All right. Thanks a lot. Well, we got to take a quick break. You're listening to Garland Nixon and Mark Levine. We're going to go to the rolling when we get back. You're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM. The show is News Views every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're back. Garland Nixon's here and Mark Levine's here, and we're talking about Obamacare. I think, Mark, we're kind of cheerleading to some extent for Obamacare, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah, but the thing that I also want people to comment on is why they think so little of the media is talking about it. I mean, I'm not just... Okay, Fox News is not going to highlight the success of Obamacare. That doesn't surprise me. But why isn't the Washington Post? Why isn't the New York Times? Why isn't MSNBC? I have just seen very few stories about it. And it just... I remember when this was being put into place, it just seemed like every day it was Obamacare.
Oh, yeah.
Every day, this is going to fail, this is going to blow up, it's going to kill jobs, it's going to increase...
You're going to kill Grandma.
I mean, the reason they called it Obamacare is because they expected it wanted to fail, and they wanted to tar this president with that. And I just this is the biggest story that no one's ever talking about.
3 years from now,
I'm glad we have WPFW to talk about.
Yeah,
it.
3 years from now, they're going to try to rename it Reagan Care, guaranteed.
Probably.
They won't. They'll be sorry they called it Obamacare. But here's the bottom line: when is the last time that we have, that this country has had a program of this size that helped the working class and the working poor and the poor mostly.
Medicare. Yeah. I think we have to go back that far.
Yeah. This, who's really benefiting? The working class, the working poor, the poor. Other people, oh, now, everyone's benefiting to some extent because it's improving health care overall.
And also the rate of increase of everyone's health insurance is way less. It used to go up 10% a year. Now it's going up at a little over the rate of inflation, which is the lowest rate of increase we've had since they started measuring this after World War II. So it does help everybody.
It really does.
Even if you get it under your job, it's hard to see it, but you can get a little bit more salary. Your boss can give you a little bit more because they're not paying through the roof for your health care.
Absolutely. 202-588-0893. We're talking about Obamacare. Let's go to Roland next. Roland, welcome to WPFW. You're on the air.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, Roland.
Thank you. Well, Mark said something earlier about Virginia, and that if you're in Virginia, tough luck, et cetera. I had the impression that Obamacare, what you could access the federal site regardless of what state you're in and purchase, but that the problem really comes from those 25 states that did not embrace the Medicaid expansion.
That's correct.
All right. So
that's really correct, but that still affects about a million Virginians. It affects a lot of people.
Was it 5 or 6 million or something? I forgot how many.
Well, that's nationwide, but maybe it's hundreds of thousands in Virginia, not a million. But it's still a substantial number of people, and you got to remember, they're the people who need it the most. They're the people who are uninsured. They're the people who are suffering the most. You're right. It does go into effect if you have, between 100 and 133% of the poverty line. But if you're poor and you need health care the most and you live in southwestern rural Virginia where people are very poor, they're the ones. So the people who need it most are hurting most in Virginia.
Yeah, I saw on Facebook an ad for Gillespie, who's running for Senate, and it was strictly on Obamacare, and he was saying, that the ad said, well, if you don't want Obamacare to come to Virginia, vote for me. And one of my ignorant conservative Facebook friends, I guess she's the only one, went and copied it. She clicked like, said she liked Gillespie in the ad. Well, I went and responded. I said, well, you know, it's pathetic to think that people don't know that Obamacare is actually available, the insurance is available in all 50 states, including Virginia. But really what this ad means, that if you like it, you're saying that you like that all of the poorest of Virginians are going to go without health care. In other words, that many of your fellow Virginians are likely to get sick and die due to lack of health care. So go ahead and click like.
Yeah, Mark, I think, thanks a lot, Roland. I think that what's going on here is exactly what you were talking about with Mitch McConnell being, apathetic about the truth, playing, footsie with the truth. No, just plain lying. Let me stop being nice.
Lying.
Bald-faced, blatant, intentional lies about Obamacare. What we're talking about is people who don't really dislike Obamacare at all. They dislike a straw man of Obamacare that they have been fed. People say Obamacare is this, and this, and it's this, and this, and this, and they're all like bad things. And if Obamacare were what they're saying, well, I wouldn't like it either. The problem is they're being fed lies. And when people find out what it really is, often most of the time, and well, let me say before I go over to you, Mark, one other thing. I don't know if you remember, there were surveys done all over the nation before Obamacare was implemented, and they broke down the various parts. Do you think this is a good idea? This is all the various parts, and it was like 80% of the people in the country supported all the different little parts, points, and parts of the Obamacare, the ACA, the Affordable Care Act. But when you called it Obamacare in one big lump, it dropped way down.
Yeah, well, they didn't support the death penalties that Sarah Palin was talking about. They didn't happen to exist,
right?
But they didn't like the part that wasn't in the bill that didn't exist. They just didn't like that, Garland.
Yeah. Okay. Next, we're going to go to Ike at 202-588-0893. We're talking about Obamacare. We got a couple lines. Ike, welcome to WPFW.
Hey,
you're on the air.
Hey, listen, thank y'all. Thank you for bringing this to our attention. Okay? Listen, I have Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
Mm-hmm.
I have Obamacare. I have the VA because I'm 100%. You understand?
Sure.
I need all of that in order to deal with what I'm going through, man. And Obamacare steps in. I signed up for Obamacare to help the brother. And guess what? It steps in when the co-pays and when Blue Cross and Blue Shield don't pay, when the VA don't pay, Obamacare does. It does what it do. Come on, man.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Ike. I certainly appreciate it.
I'd like to hear from people who still oppose Obamacare. If you still oppose it, Garland and I love to talk to critics. If you still oppose the Affordable Care Act, whether from the right or the left or for any reason, we'll tell Bill Witherspoon, we'll give you priority.
Because that's it.
I find that critics are hard to find these days. So if you still exist, you're listening to our voice, call 202-588-0893. I don't know what you could still oppose it for. I'd like to hear from you.
Well, as I said, most people that oppose it, they don't oppose it. They oppose a straw man figure of it.
Well,
Jack.
I hear people call in. I dare you. Go ahead. We'll be nice to you, but we'll disagree with you. If you still oppose it, you call in and you tell us why, because I don't understand how anyone could. I can understand people before it happened saying it's not going to work, people won't sign up, it'll cost too much. Okay, fine. But it's here, it's now, it's working. How can you anyone still oppose it?
Jack, we're going to Jack. Welcome to WPFW, Jack. Oh, where's Jack?
Thanks. How's it going?
Wonderful. Hey, what's happening, Jack?
Hey, so I work in a unique position in the healthcare industry in health insurance with a large administrator. So I work for a bunch of carriers at the same time. And I can't say a whole lot about the prices for people, individuals, shopping policies beforehand. But the statement that someone made earlier, that Obamacare is lowering prices and lowering the rate for the people who are covered,
the rate of increase,
that's not accurate. Most of my customers, and we're talking upwards of 20,000 across the area, are experiencing 20, 60, 70% increases.
Well, I'm not going to.
If you are
the
young,
people who are already
healthy and rich, your prices probably will go up.
Yeah, I know. Right, and these are right. So again, I just want to comment. Nothing against Obamacare, because candidly, I voted for President Obama, and I supported it all the way through. But for those people who were already covered, make no mistake, they're affected by Obamacare.
Well, let me
and the increases have been exorbitant.
Well, let me say this:
but
I live
5%
in
5% of people who are young, healthy, and rich, their costs have gone up. That's true. And that's part of the effect.
Well,
but it's a small percentage
though,
of Americans.
A lot of my customers have a lot of employees who are not young, healthy, or rich.
Well, let me say this.
And I go through enrollment censuses. I see the ages of these people.
Well, I'm not going to.
It does present a problem, because it can be very difficult to get off of your employer's plan.
Well, let me say this. I'm not going to say that for sure that I don't people aren't going up 70%. But here's what I'll say. I've got health care coverage in the state of Maryland. I've always had health care coverage in the state of Maryland, and mine's going up about 5% this year. Now, it used to go up 12 and 13 and 15%. So it is going up, but it is going up considerably less. And I'm a person who has had health insurance through an employer for many, many years. So I'm not going to say it isn't for somebody, but that certainly is not what I am seeing out there in the market. And overall, the numbers say that healthcare costs for the average person are going up, well, nationwide, are going up less or slower than they have in many, many years.
Right. Right. For everybody, if you add up everybody together. Now, it is true, as I said, for people who are young, healthy, and rich, they are paying a bit more. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with people who are young, healthy, and rich paying a bit more so that middle class, working class people who have real health needs get health care. I'm fine with that.
And keep this in mind. If you are young and healthy, your premium is going to be low anyway. You know what I mean? If you're young and healthy, you're going to have considerably lower premiums than anyone else, anybody.
Right, they'd be going up from, you know, $50 to $70,
yeah.
Which is a 40% increase, but it's not that much.
Yeah, it's like life insurance. You know, a person who's 20 may buy $100,000 of life insurance for, you know, $10 or $11, and a person who's 50 may be paying $40.
Right.
The bottom line is it's relative. You're still not going to be paying much, but 50, 60, 70% sure sounds awful high to me, and that's not the numbers I'm seeing. And if the numbers were increasing like that, then how could it, in the world, could it be 7.5% nationwide? But let's go to who we're going to next, Bill. Saru, welcome to WPFW.
Well, yes, good conversation. Hi, you guys.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Kansas is finding some information. If you live in one state and you move to a place like in Maryland, how do you, I know they have a coverage which I think, is it a gold or something like that?
Well, I can tell you one, here's one thing about the Affordable Care Act. It's like a lot of employers do this too. If you have there's only a certain period, I think, I don't know if it's October 15th, November 1st, or whatever, till January 1st, whatever. There's a certain period of time during the year that you can sign up. If you don't sign up during that time, you can't sign up. However, if you move from state to state, if you get married, if a number of things happen, you automatically, the open enrollment period opens up for you and you can re-enroll. So I don't know for sure, but I would imagine that that's one of the things that happens, because when you move from state to state, there are many times different plans. So if you move to another state, I would look into it. If there's any issues or if there's different plans, that's going to open enrollment up, and all you're going to have to do is re-enroll in a new plan for that state.
And let me say, I understand why enrollment is closed for a period of months. It makes perfect sense. If you decide, I'm going to go with the cheapest, least plan, or even I'm going to go with no insurance at all and pay a fine, and then that next day you get cancer,
right,
you'll be like, oh, I'm going to sign up for the gold plan that takes care of cancer completely, and that's a moral hazard problem.
Because
we don't want people to not sign up at all until they get sick. We want everyone to sign up. It's insurance. It's not, you can buy it once you get sick. So that's why they close enrollment for periods of time and then they open it again. And that makes perfect sense to me.
Likewise, that exposes the absurdity of the conservatives saying, well, yeah, we'll get rid of Obamacare, but we'll keep the pre-existing condition clause so they can't. Well, here's the problem with that. If people are not required to get insurance, nobody's required to get it. Nobody's got to get it. No, forget that. It's the same as before. However, companies cannot deny you because you have a pre-existing condition. Everybody can just wait and say, well, I don't have to worry, I won't get it. And as soon as they get cancer, as soon as they get a blood disease, as soon as they get a bad heart, whatever the case may be, a brain tumor, then they'll go buy it. And the companies can't deny it. So
and
if
the
you
cost
were,
will go through the roof if
yeah,
that happens.
And well, what that would do is it would destroy the healthcare system, because everyone would just wait till they got sick to buy it, and then they'd say, okay, I don't mind paying $500 a month because I need a $65,000 hip replacement.
Exactly.
And that would, it would destroy it. So it's absurd, their argument that they could get rid of. You couldn't get rid of it unless you got rid of all of it. And right now you'd be throwing, probably now I'm hearing upwards of like 13 million people when you add the people who are on it because of their parents' plan, Medicaid expansion, et cetera, and people who just didn't have it before. So we're going next. We're going to Tyrone. We're going to Charles. Welcome to WPFW. You're on the air, Charles.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, I love the discussion, but I've grown up in the medical industry. My mother's a medical doctor from the 1960s, and I've got a lot of experience having a child with a brain tumor. A wife died of cancer. But I would like to comment that we don't have health care. We have sickness care in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Our health care providers are sickness care providers, and they want us sick. They make tons of money. And I think we need health care, but what we have is sickness care for profit. And a buddy of mine works for the Security Exchange Commission, and they were doing an investigation of fraud, waste, and abuse at a pharmaceutical company tapping phone calls, and they overheard a conversation about the executives talking about the perfect disease is one that's incurable, but we get to treat it for life.
Yeah. You're sick for a long, long time, and you're really sick.
Gall and I are not defending pharmaceutical companies. What you're complaining about, and you're absolutely right about, is basically fee-for-service medicine. The idea that a doctor doesn't have to keep you well, they just run three tests, all three tests are negative, and they get charged per test. You're absolutely right that that's a problem. I don't like fee-for-service medicine. Universal care would get rid of that. Obamacare takes a couple steps in that direction, not near far enough. But what Obamacare does do is it makes preventative care cheaper, so you'll get the preventative care and not get the expensive condition that costs so much. But I firmly agree with the caller that fee-for-service medicine is not the end goal. The end goal in universal care, there is some plans, I should say also, Obamacare does pay doctors more to keep you healthy rather than per service, but we have a long way to go in that regard, and that's an example where Obamacare goes some distance, but not near far enough.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Charles.
I'd also like to point out one other
thing. Sure, go ahead.
My mother was an MD at a particular hospital up in Michigan, and she was an outspoken critic and would work in medical malpractice cases. And she testified against a doctor who was a known problem doctor who made lots of mistakes. And then my father-in-law has colon cancer, and she says, "Well, who's the doctor you're going to see?" "Oh, Dr. So-and-so, we love." And she says, "Oh, my God, don't let that man touch him."
Well, thanks a lot, Charles. Certainly appreciate it. We're talking about Obamacare. We've got one more caller, so we've got to get to him. Tyrone, welcome to WPFW.
How you doing, Garland?
Fantastic.
Hey, Tyrone.
Fine. How are you both doing? Listen, I totally agree with Obamacare, and I tell you the truth, I'm enjoying it, and I will enjoy it even more if we go into the healthcare system like they have in Western Europe.
Hear, hear.
You all take care and have a blessed and safe weekend to all of you all.
Thank you, Tyrone. Thank you very much. I certainly appreciate it. You know, Mark, we're having problems finding somebody who's opposes Obamacare calling in anymore.
Yeah, even the guy that works in the industry that points out correctly that there are a few people for whom the cost is increasing, even he said that overall Obamacare is better. And it really, it is true. And the thing I remember Republicans saying is the midterms are going to be a referendum on Obamacare. We're going to, and you know what? I don't see them talking
Mum's the world for Obamacare.
I don't hear Boehner talking about it. I hear Mitch McConnell. They're running from it.
Yeah, everything, you know, all of the things they predicted, it was exactly the opposite, you know. And it's been an unbelievable success. It's been exactly what the people who, in fact, it's, if anything, it's done more. The other part is this, and I'm hearing, and that is that after the elections, there are a number of red states now who are kind of negotiating with the federal government about instituting the Medicaid expansion because they're getting a lot of heat from the hospitals and the medical industry within their state, because the states that have instituted Medicaid expansion, there's billions of dollars coming in because the people who come to the hospital now, they get the medical industry gets paid for the patients, and they're really pressing it. And these billions of, basically, you know, here's the other thing about it, Mark, you know, kind of in a sly kind of way, it was a stimulus package.
Well, absolutely it was.
But we're not supposed to say that. No, it wasn't a stimulus package. It had nothing to do with stimulus.
Let me give a shout out to my fellow Virginians and encourage you, if you haven't already, to call your local Virginia assemblyman or woman, call your local delegate, call your local Virginia state senator, and ask them to support Medicaid expansion. Most of the Democrats in Virginia do. The Republicans tend not to. If you're listening to us and you live and your delegate, your assemblyperson is Republican, if you don't know who it is, go online, you can find it. Tell them that you think they're ridiculous to refuse all this free money from the federal government. Wouldn't cost Virginia a penny. People are dying because the Republicans in the Virginia Assembly are heartless. There's just no other word for it.
Well, you know, this was a couple months back, but I had a little, let's just say, an argument with a person on the left who disagreed with Obamacare, and their argument was, and I'm sure you've heard it before, all this money goes to the insurance companies. You're empowering the insurance companies. This is nothing but money for the insurance companies, and I'm against it. And this was really great. I wasn't sure what the answer was. So I said to them, I said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you have health care coverage? I said, yep. I said, with who? They said, United Healthcare. I said, why are you empowering the insurance companies? Whoa, wait a minute here. You don't want other people to get healthcare insurance because they're going to empower the insurance companies. Yet you have healthcare coverage and you're empowering the insurance companies because you have enough sense to know that you'll die without it, but you don't have enough sense to know that they will. I'm going to bet you that most of the people who are arguing that health insurance for poor people, you know, they'd be better off if they didn't have it because they don't have the right kind, have it themselves and are hypocritically doing exactly what they're saying that these other people shouldn't be doing.
And you know what? You can still oppose the insurance companies. Support Obamacare, and then let's all work together to get universal health care. Half a loaf is good. We can all still work for that full loaf.
Mark, if someone wants to get in touch with you, how do they do it?
Go to marklevinetalk.com. Follow me on Twitter at marklevinetalk, M-A-R-K-L-E-V-I-N-E. T-A-L-K. I'm also on Facebook.com/MarkLevineTalk. Come talk to me. Tell me what you thought of the show.
And next week I'm going to do a show on homelessness. I got a couple people in here. We're going to do a show on homelessness. It's come close to me. I'm actually trying to help a person right now who is homeless. In fact, it's a struggle. If you know anything about helping a homeless person in Montgomery County, give me a call, or rather give me an email, garlandin@gmail.com. That's garlandin@gmail.com, and the end is for Nixon, @gmail.com. I got a homeless person I'm trying to help find a place. It's a young female who's working and just can't afford a rent. So garlandin@gmail.com. If you know anything about maybe possibly how to help a person in Montgomery County who's homeless, Montgomery or PG, find a place to stay. Next, Robin's Place, probably the best show in the history of the human race when it comes to music is Robin's Place. And I'll be listening, and no doubt you will. And I'm sure Mark will, too.
Absolutely.
All right, Mark, I will see you next week. And okay. I will talk to everyone next week at 6 p.m. WPFW 89.3 FM Pacific in Washington, D.C.
Thanks for listening to the Just Completed Public Affairs or News Program. As a listener-sponsored community radio station, WPFW appreciates your feedback, whether favorable or otherwise. To provide your feedback, even if it is regarding one of our many music programs, simply email us at info@wpfw.org. That's info@wpfw.org. Thanks.